The Pacific Palisades fire, which, if the insane news cycle buried it from your memory, began on January 7th, 2025, and caused massive destruction across the Pacific Palisades, Topanga, and Malibu, with nearly every structure north of Sunset Boulevard in Pacific Palisades being obliterated, causing severe air pollution in Los Angeles. The crisis was compounded by water supply issues, as 20% of fire hydrants in the more elevated parts of Pacific Palisades ran dry. The containment efforts reached only 8% by January 31st of 2025 after 24 days of battling an inferno that 7 months later is still being investigated as arson. In the aftermath, Governor Gavin Newsom signed Senate Bill 549 into law. This legislation grants Los Angeles County the authority to purchase fire-destroyed lots at minimal cost, a decision that directly contradicts Newsom's previous statements to homeowners that government-driven property conversions would not occur.
I was just talking to Josh Green, the governor down in Hawaii. You had some ideas around some land use concerns he has around speculators coming in, buying up properties, and the like. So we're already working with our legal teams to move those things forward, and we'll be presenting those in a matter of days, not just weeks.
The bill mandates that from January 2026, 40% of the housing in affected areas must be affordable, and it establishes a, quote, resilient rebuilding authority, end quote, that overrides local community decisions on rebuilding efforts. This strips away local control, likely displacing original homeowners who don't fall under the criteria of Section 8 recipients, and enables rezoning without their input.
The people that are in charge of this bill, they're the people in charge of letting the whole town burn down, okay? You can say whatever you want, but all their decisions, all their negligence, all that, that's why we have no town in the Palisades. Why will we ever have them in charge of rebuilding what they let burn down?
With SB 549, the authority can buy back land and offer it first to original owners. But if they cannot afford it, they lose their homes permanently, setting the table for Smart LA 2028, led by the City of Los Angeles's Information Technology Agency, a government technocracy that is building the 2028 Olympics on the charred remains of its citizens' homes.
Technology enables the City of LA to efficiently and ethically improve the quality of life for our residents, businesses, and visitors. In other words, when done right, technology makes us smarter. That's why the City of Los Angeles strives to be a smart city. And there's never been a more important time for Los Angeles to be smart than now, as we prepare to host the world in the 2028 Summer Olympics and Paralympics.
Meanwhile, the LA Rises public outreach campaign, launched by the survivors to support recovery efforts, is undermined by Newsom's policy shifts, which prioritize government control over the restoration of homeowner rights and local autonomy.
What they're proposing is a separate government entity to be comprised of political appointees, not people elected by you, who would have centralized authority over construction permitting, development, land acquisition, and other key decisions that will shape the future of the Palisades.
In this brave new world, the people of Pacific Palisades are not rebuilding their lives. They are being rebuilt by a government that ignored their cries for help and sees opportunity in their suffering, an opportunity with motive.
It's like California's being run by a criminal operation, and the goal is the biggest land grab in the history of the United States of America.
But the question isn't whether this was planned. It's whether the people of California will stand idly by as their homes, their rights, and their futures are consumed by the same fire that started it all. Their time to take a stand is today, and it isn't tomorrow. John Bound reporting for InfoWars.
I was hoping you had some of the Alex Jones ones. How is Alex?
He's great. He lost a lot of weight.
I saw he's getting like Yeah, he's ready for the next
My friend
big...
Sean Johnson's training him.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he gets up every morning. He works out for hours. He's lost, I think he's lost 70 pounds at this point. He looks fantastic, man.
Yeah.
He looks fantastic. He looks like he's 20 years younger. People think, because this is really funny, because, you know, his whole business is conspiracy theories. So it's a conspiracy that Alex has been replaced.
Yeah, yeah.
But listen, folks, that's real Alex. I've watched every step of the way, and my friend trains him. So I can tell you for a fact, that is the real Alex Jones. Quit drinking, quit eating bad food. He's eating healthy food now. He works out every day. It's like no Ozempic, no bullshit, no shortcuts. He did it the right way. He looks great.
You find it all at thealexjonesshow.com, and it funds the most hardcore patriot organization worldwide, absolutely devastating the globalists in our peaceful information war.
Holy shit, he was right about every step of the way.
Dismantling the system of control, it's InfoWars Sunday Briefing with Nick Sordor.
All right, everybody, welcome to the InfoWars Sunday Briefing. I am Nick Sordor. We're just kind of getting this show started here. I appreciate being invited to host you guys once a week. Every Sunday, we'll have a little bit of a nicer setup next time. Been a little busy around here, obviously, down in Texas, working on the fires that were happening, or not the fires, the floods that were happening down there. And my, I have no idea why that camera is moving around. So we're just going to move forward, I guess. Yeah, lots happened this week. You've seen, the Epstein thing, obviously all over the news. It has been for the past 2 weeks here. And the biggest news over the past 3 days being the Tulsi files being released. And hopefully something will come out of that. To be totally honest with you, I don't have a whole lot of hope that that's going to happen. Unfortunately, we have an attorney general that is, I don't know, less than stellar so far. We'll say that much. Traveling all around the country, talking to middle America, and this is one of their biggest gripes about the Trump administration, is that there aren't enough arrests. You know, we were promised high-profile arrests, and I still think Trump is on that path. Trump wants that to happen. But we have Pam Bondi, who just maybe isn't the bulldog that we need in the Department of Justice. So, you know, if we go over what Tulsi Gabbard released this week, it proves again that we conspiracy theorists were correct. Obama and his cronies made up this Russiagate hoax that cost our country millions and millions of dollars and years they spent undermining the Trump administration with the first Trump administration with that fake intel that was devised. Out of those files, we saw Tulsi Gabbard releasing the brief that President Obama got in December of 2016, confirming to him that they had no evidence that the Trump campaign colluded with Russia in any way, shape, or form, and that there was no real impact on anything Russia was doing independently. So all of that was a hoax, not just the collusion aspect, but the fact that they were trying to say that Russia rigged the election on behalf of Donald Trump. That was fake as well. And you can go into my Twitter comments and everything. Everybody is saying the same thing. They want to see arrests here. It's there. You have Tulsi calling for treason charges, potentially, saying that this is a treasonous conspiracy to usurp the powers of the President of the United States, elected by many of us, millions and millions and millions of us in 2016. And I think that's going to be a huge problem if we don't see arrests come out of this. This is probably, I don't know what else you need. I don't know what else you need. A lot of these people weren't pardoned. Comey, Brennan, Susan Rice, all of them who were in on it, none of them were pardoned. And, you know, in any circumstance, the President of the United States, even if he has some sort of immunity, he is not immune from committing treason and being charged with treason. So anybody telling you that Obama can't be arrested is lying to you. That can absolutely happen. It's just whether or not the DOJ has the balls to do it. And at this point, until we're proven wrong, and I hope we're proven wrong, I don't see that happening. So, yeah, everybody here, and I know a lot of you guys are vocal. A lot of you guys are vocal. I mean, you get on me when I step out of line at times. So I know, like, keep that up. It pisses off the administration, but we're not here to fluff them. We're not here to just cheer them on all the time. We have to push and push and push and make it so that they fear that it's a political detriment for them not to make a move here. Trump has been posting on Truth Social even now. I keep getting alerts on my phone here of Trump posting on Truth Social, posting the Tulsi Gabbard interviews that she's doing a lot, echoing those calls for charges against Barack Obama. So, you know, keep that up, keep forcing that. And I'm hoping that we'll see some movement on that. And then on the Epstein files, this has been probably one of the biggest debacles that the Trump administration has faced from the base and not just the base, but also, you know, conservatives as well, more right people on the right. And we've seen them react to that in the filing that that Pam Bondi made with the Southern District of New York, said that there was so that starting on July 6th, there began to be immense public pressure and public interest in this case, and that the grand jury files should be declassified. However, it's worth noting that we're probably not going to get a lot of details that you really want out of those grand jury testimonies. That is, it's probably not going to name any sort of co-conspirators, and there's not going to be a lot of damning information in there because, you know, keep in mind, these grand juries, they don't need to have much to indict anybody at all. There's a saying that you can indict a ham sandwich, and that's very true. You absolutely can. So don't expect some sort of grand conspiracy to come out of those grand jury files if they are even released. If there's a very high bar to get cases like that, to get those grand jury testimonies unsealed, they're usually very difficult to unseal. So I would say the chances of that happening aren't very good to begin with. Let's hope I'm wrong on that again. But you know, even if even if it is released, even if they are successful at releasing that information, we can't stop there. That's my point of saying that there's probably nothing in there that's going to excite anybody or change anything really. This is it could just be we're being thrown a bone that. Some people might take it and be like, okay, yep, that's it. All right, nothing else to see here. But most people are going to realize there's a lot more to see here. You know, some people are trying to steer this and say, oh, well, Jeffrey Epstein is dead. So why does anybody care anymore? And I think the president of the United States actually said that too. But that's not what we care about. We don't care as much about the dead guy. We care about the fact that things are being... We care about the co-conspirators, the live, powerful co-conspirators, and then justice for the victims. That's what we want, because it wasn't just Jeffrey Epstein in here. Ghislaine Maxwell, you know, is in prison for trafficking to somebody. We want to know who that is. We want to know who that is. Who was trafficked to? Why was Prince Andrew hiding out in the UK for so many years? Years and years and years. Wouldn't leave the UK. Hardly would even leave his house. Because he was afraid of being jailed. There's clearly more to it. And these rich, powerful elites, they can't continue to get away with that. And that's what Trump's voters are yelling for. We want to see arrests, not just in these cases, not just in the Epstein cases, but all the political corruption cases that we see. And we want to know, for a fact, are our politicians being blackmailed? Because it sure as hell looks like it. It sure as hell looks like it. The intelligence connections from Epstein and his cronies and his really close relationship with various politicians and the way that he was able to stay out of prison for the most part on these child rape charges that he got early on back during the first case, the state case in Florida, where, of course, Pam Bondi was attorney general down there as well and botched that case. So, you know, there's so much more to this. I mean, there's a potential that and I don't know this for sure. I'm just throwing things out there that could potentially be true. There might be something that Pam Bondi, who was the attorney general of Florida, doesn't want to necessarily get out there that would make her look like, you know, a bad attorney general down in Florida. I mean, that's possible. There's so many possibilities here that this has been going on for so many years. There's no way, no matter who tells us to, that we're going to shut up about this. It's not going to happen. And to be honest with you, the way that I operate and the way that I've operated throughout, you know, from East Palestine on is when people tell you to stop talking about something, I'm going to talk about it more. I'm going to get louder about it. I'm going to be more in their face about it. And that's true for a lot of the audience here as well. So don't stop. doing that. Don't let people bully you into shutting up about this entire situation. Don't let them tell you that you're not allowed to be a Trump supporter and call for the Epstein release at the same time. That's some BS as well. I see that floating around all the time. You don't have to pick one or the other. You can support President Trump and also call for transparency in the Epstein case. Anyone telling you otherwise is just trying to, at that point, cover for Epstein and the other cronies that are named in the case. So anyway, this has been something that a lot of people have been yelling very loudly about. Don't stop doing that. And we will be back with more Sunday Briefing right after the break here. Stay with us. Appreciate you joining us on this first edition of me hosting the InfoWars Sunday Briefing. Stay tuned, everybody.
I need support. We are maxed out, and I can do so much more in offense, guaranteed beat them even faster in court. And got this other stuff going on. I'll leave it that with the Justice Department, the good guys coming in, and the task force on weaponization, that I need funds. So I need you to go to thealexshowstore.com, subscribe as your monthly donation for $30 a month as a VIP, and know you're doing that bare minimum of support, cancel any time. Not a very hard commitment. You just do it month to month. You charge $30. You're a VIP, and when you want a T-shirt or you want a supplement, you get it, because it'll just build up in your account. $40 to spend in the store. You spend 30, you get 40 automatic discounts on everything, special sales, special offers. I'm asking everyone to commit who's never supported the broadcast by buying anything to become a VIP today at thealexjonesstore.com. And then you know you're doing the monthly support. Ever have an issue, don't want to do it, cancel. It's one click, it's your profile. But by being a VIP, you get massive discounts, special offers, and so much more at thealexjonesstore.com. And it's a way to show your support. We need your backing. I am 100% dauntless. If anything, I get overheated because I've got so much energy and I'm so angry at these people and it bleeds off into my life. I need your backing. I'm backing you. Quite frankly, if you don't back me and my crew, what we're doing, you're nuts. And I'm not mad at you. I'm just saying you're crazy. Evil hates this transmission. We've got their number. And if you don't back the organizations fighting with everything they've got for you, because we're all in this together, well, you've rolled over. You've run up the white flag, quite frankly, and that's what this is. People ask, man, thanks for fighting. Thanks for never giving up. Wow, why does it break your spirit? It intensifies my spirit. To know we're up against pure evil and we're turning the tide and we're winning, and then to know that if we don't fight hard, they're going to win and commit humanity to a nightmare of evil? You think stuff's bad now? You ain't seen nothing yet. Thank me for fighting for my own future and yours collectively? There's not even a question of fighting these people. Look at them. They've got to be opposed. People tend to think being persecuted is, oh, you want to stay away from that? Oh, so you want to stay away from the fight? No, it's like John Paul Jones said when he got commissioned as the head of the U.S. Navy, and while he was starting, and he was writing to the Continental Congress, he said, I only want the fastest ships. I only want to be sent into the main war zones of direct action. They said, here, here's our fastest ship. Go out. He immediately goes out and engages and takes over all these British ships, 2-3 times the size, just ramming straight into them. Well, that's what I want to do. I only want the fastest ships. I want to go directly into action. I want to go 24 hours a day. I want reporters all over the country. I want to be 50 times stronger against the enemy. I want 50 times the audience. I want victory. You think what we've done to the enemy's been effective so far? It's nothing. I have not yet begun to fight. So support yourself. Support us. Do it. Or be conscious that you didn't fight when the time was right. You hesitated. You took this as another entertainment venue, to some other show. Just more talk. This ain't talk. This is the targeting coordinates to take down the enemy. This is the Death Star plans. This is Sting, the Goblin Slayer. They hate this blade. This operation is a sword that is plunged politically, culturally, spiritually into the hearts of our enemies over and over and over again. They hate it. It's a standard of their defeat. It's a symbol of their weakness. That's what we're doing here. This is serious business. So I'm coming to you asking you to continue to commission us in this fight. We've already delivered you more victories against the enemy than any other media operation in the world. And I'm asking you again for all of our collective futures to come to our aid now more and take your fight to the 110% level. Tell the truth. Be accurate. Stand against evil. Have courage. Until it's not even having courage, it's what you are.
to the InfoWars Sunday Briefing. Again, I'm Nick Sorter. Appreciate you guys joining us here on a Sunday. You know, at the top of the hour, for the guys that were here in the beginning, you saw the scandal that continues to go on in California, the Palisades fire. I was out there covering that. I was also on Maui in Lahaina when that fire happened out there. And everybody, all of us conspiracy theorists at the time, were saying that it was going to be a land grab. Whether or not it started off that way, whether or not they were intentional fires, is up for debate. But we knew that after it had begun, that they were going to use the opportunity to grab the land. They always do. That's what they've done in the past. They did it in Paradise, California as well. This is not not a foreign concept. This is what these guys do. These people are evil, okay? Nobody, hardly anybody, in both California and Hawaii have been able to rebuild anything at all. They just won't give them the permits. And up until a few months ago, they weren't even allowed in Lahaina, what you're seeing right now, to go and visit their homes. They weren't allowed between that border. It was patrolled by both Maui police and National Guard. And then you have to ask nicely for a pass from your government to be able to go in there and visit those sites. It is sickening. And the fact that those people out there are too afraid to stand up to their government, and they are, because the Hawaiian government is absolutely tyrannical. They're absolutely tyrannical. I was afraid that I was going to get arrested for speaking out against these people while I was on the ground out there. And let's just say it came very, very close. But the media attention made them go away. But Gavin Newsom, as you're seeing here, when the whole Palisades fire happened out there, I think they've granted a total of about 6 rebuild permits out there. 6 after 7 months now. So, I mean, we all know what they're doing out there. It's not a surprise to us. And then we see this story this week where Gavin Newsom, surprise, surprise, unveils a $101 million plan to build low-income housing in the Palisades. Who could have predicted that? Who could have possibly seen that coming? And he's saying that this is a multifamily low-income housing development. This is a quote that will, quote, contribute to a more equitable and resilient Los Angeles. And look, the Palisades was some of the most beautiful parts of Los Angeles. And it's no surprise that Gavin Newsom's going to come in and try to make this whole thing political, grab the land. I'm sure some of his developer buddies are going to get it. Practically nobody has been fired over this situation that you're seeing right there on the ground, besides the fact that the reservoir was empty and is still empty to this day up there in the hills, that would have prevented, you know, thousands of homes from being burned to the ground. And the water and the fire hydrants issues, we still don't know if there are any water in the fire hydrants. Why? Because Gavin Newsom wanted to protect the stupid little fish that nobody has ever heard of, that doesn't really contribute anything to the environment anyway. And so for that, you have to have your house burned down. So appreciate Gavin Newsom for doing that. But why is this the priority here? Low-income housing in the Palisades. I'm sure that's what the victims really needed. I'm sure that's what they wanted so, so bad. This is what they've been calling for. They don't want to be able to rebuild their homes. They want Gavin Newsom to steal it from them through government force and build low-income housing on it. That's what when all the victims that I talked to out there, that's what they said they wanted. So, you know, of course, it's crazy that we're down this road again and hardly anybody is yelling about it. There's a reservoir that I was talking about right there. Still empty. Still empty. And he's going to continue to get away with this stuff until his own people start getting more vocal about it. A lot of these people out there voted for Gavin Newsom, and they're even getting shafted. So at what point do they try to recall the guy, get him out of office, and put in somebody that is reasonable and not just looking to line his own pockets and that of his cronies? Who is getting this development contract? We don't know that yet. $101 million for low-income housing is a hell of a lot of money. You can build an awful lot of multifamily low-income units for $101 million. But if we know anything from the state of California, we know that they're not exactly the greatest with money. We can go and look at the California High-Speed Rail project that President Trump and Secretary of Transportation Sean Duffy finally axed this week, told them they're not getting another dime for this massive boondoggle that was originally supposed to cost like $18 billion and is now well over $100 billion in cost, and they haven't laid a single foot of track yet. And, you know, that's another thing. If we had a bulldog of an attorney general, I would expect California would be investigated for where all this money went. Where is it all going? This is still an American state, although some of us wish it wasn't. It still is a U.S. state. They've gotten billions and billions and billions of federal tax dollars from the Biden regime, and we have no idea where any of it went. So, you know, if anything, the DOJ, in its massive amount of resources, I don't know where most of it goes at this point, because we're not seeing, and the people that are stealing the most money from us being held accountable in any way, shape, or form, and the corrupt fools like Gavin Newsom continue to walk free and continue to walk all over us. All of us taxpayers, all of us Americans are getting walked all over by this guy, and he feels empowered by it. He doesn't feel like anybody is going to come after him. They haven't gone after anybody else, so why are they going to go after Gavin Newsom? And until somebody is put in jail, we're going to continue to see this stuff, and we can rant and rave about it all we want to, and they're not going to stop. Why would they? If there are no consequences, you know, there's literally no incentive for them to do so. So, look, at this point, a lot of people say, okay, let's just give Pam Bondi a chance. Let's give her more time. She's only been in there 6 months or whatever. But, look, 6 months feels like plenty of time to make, you know, one arrest. You know, two? I mean, is that too much to ask? Am I in over my head by saying that I feel like we could have had an arrest or two by now? I will say that, you know, like Dan Bongino, for example, and the work that he's been doing at the FBI, I've seen it firsthand, and I do believe that he is doing well. There have been a lot of child predators, for example, that have been arrested. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds. There have been hundreds of children recovered, missing children that went missing during the Biden administration. Thousands of them, over 10,000 now, that have been recovered under Bongino and Kash Patel. I don't think any of that has to do with anything Pam Bondi has been doing. I feel like, you know, there's only so much time in the day for you to, help out what the FBI is doing when you're sitting there doing Fox News hits and, you know, I don't really want to say it, but I guess I do want to say it. I'm really tired of people like Pam Bondi who are supposed to be, you know, prosecuting high-profile criminals and such, spending more time worrying about their next Fox News hit and, you know, tweets and whatever. She wants to be an influencer, guys, and I don't know how else to put it. That's what she wants. She wants to be praised and loved by everybody, but at a minimum, she's way in over her head. She's way in over her head. The American people do not have faith in Pam Bondi. And at some point, I'm hoping that President Trump will finally see that too. You know, if she doesn't come and put any of these people in jail that Tulsi revealed, any of Obama's cronies, Brennan, Susan Rice, Comey, if none of them see a jail cell, I'm hoping that President Trump will finally snap and be like, you know what? Right, this chick's no good. We're going to bring in somebody else. Don't know who that would be just yet, but, you know, I can dream, I guess. We'll see if that happens. Don't go away. We got another 32 minutes here on the InfoWars Sunday Briefing. Appreciate everybody joining us, and we will see you in just a couple of minutes.
K. Jr. mixes something into his drink, people pay attention. Plenty of folks are wondering what was in that little bottle he uncorked during a flight.
What is Bobby Kennedy Jr. dropping into that glass of water? Methylene blue. Mel Gibson also praised methylene blue on Joe Rogan recently.
This stuff works, man.
A stimulant stimulates cells themselves to turn the cell up. This turns the energy up. That's why there's no letdown. That's why you can take this and go to sleep, too. But you sleep better on it, in my experience.
No, I really like it. I'm going to have to get on this stuff.
Here, show her Kennedy taking it. Kennedy literally gobbles it.
He must be doing something right. That ripped bod is 73 years old.
Our methylene blue, medical grade, made in Florida, is incredible. Cleans out your mitochondria, clarity, focus, energy. You've seen the rave reviews of every guest we've had on. It's game changing.
I feel like, wow, there's power in coalescing all your thoughts.
Did you hear our last guest, what she said happened to her?
No. What?
She said brain fog just lifted.
That's what it feels like.
I feel lighter. It's really interesting. I almost like feel smarter.
This stuff kicked in and it like instantly I just felt like this weird meditative energy. I don't know how to explain it. I don't feel jittery. I just felt like instantly, like I went from 5 hours of sleep like I got last night to like 10 hours. I don't know how to explain it. The stuff's new to me, but I like it. Methylene Blue works for me.
I just kind of feel like I'm sitting up straight more. I'm thinking more. The thoughts are coming in easier. I'm making decisions faster. And it really does. And it gives you clean energy.
When I'm talking, it seems like it's not really me talking. I can hear my talking and going, wow.
I agree. It's almost like an out-of-body experience. It's like you're behind yourself.
That is what it feels like. But my brain's going really fast.
It clears the brain fog where you're actually able to focus more clearly.
For me, it's like a fog lifted, but it was like a veil lifted off, you know? Incredible. Best product that I've purchased so far.
Yeah!
I feel more energetic. I feel more alive.
I found that within 30 minutes of taking it, I have improved focus, improved short-term memory, improved energy. But if I take it late in the day, it doesn't interfere with my ability to sleep, which is very rare for something like this. I get a tingly feeling in my fingertips. It's almost like it's improving my circulation.
I feel tingling fingers.
Methylene Blue radically increases glucose uptake in the brain.
Okay.
So it makes you better and more efficient at using your sugar. We all know the brain uses like 25% of the calories in the body or something crazy.
They've done studies that chess masters burn like 5,000 calories in a day in a tournament because they're so focused on directing energy to their mind as they're thinking so critically that it's like almost like an Olympic athlete.
Well, think about this stuff. It operates in a very similar way. That's the real thing Methylene Blue does. I really believe in this product. A lot of people have bought our Methylene Blue. Our Methylene Blue is incredible. I take it personally. But yeah, I mean, like, this is a solid product. Take this in the morning. A couple hours later, you'll experience the cognitive benefits of it.
I mean, it's so good, it's scary, it's just amazing. So yes, it really does work. It varies person to person, but it's amazing.
About 15 minutes ago, I took 10 drops of the Ultimate Methylene Blue. I must say that it does a damn good job.
99% of people that take it have between moderate to just insanely good effects. So good for your whole body.
Definitely noticed my focus, cognition increased, good energy right now. I'm a practicing dentist, so I have more patients to treat coming up. So I'm always looking for that afternoon boost without the slump.
With this, it's like in your head where you're like, you could feel it. Your body's a little tingly, but you're just more aware of what's going on.
I would definitely recommend the Alex Jones Methylene Blue here. It's great stuff, so thank you, Alex. Keep it coming.
Powered by Methylene Blue. Ultra Methylene Blue at thealexjonesstore.com.
Unveiling the truth they don't want you to see. You're watching InfoWars Sunday Briefing with your host, Nick Sordor.
All right, welcome back to the InfoWars Sunday Briefing. Appreciate you guys, everybody, being here today. And, you know, a lot of the conversation continues to be about deportations, mass deportations, and ICE. Because if there's anything that 78 million Americans voted for was mass deportations. We are so freaking sick of illegals taking over our states, our cities. I don't know if anybody has had to, unfortunately, go to New York City anytime recently. But, you know, New York City 10 years ago, when I visited when I was a kid with my dad, is much different than the New York City that I go to now. When I go there with my girlfriend, I have to stay with her. I can't let her, you know, go places in the city by herself. So people are seeing that. People are pissed. And that's why 78 million people, at a minimum, voted for President Trump. And, you know, luckily with this big, beautiful bill, if anything good comes out of it, it's the fact that we're seeing ICE have the budget of the third largest military in the world. So, you know, I definitely support that. I want to see these mass deportations. Joe Biden let in 20 million people. I'm preaching to the choir here. But you see how Democrats are reacting to it, because it's more than just fraudulent votes. It's the fact that these people are inflating the electoral count just by existing in California, because the amount of members of Congress that are that come from a state, the amount of delegates that they get in the Electoral College are determined by the population, not the legal population, but the general population. So that definitely needs to change. But that's why California is fighting so hard against things like this. And that's why the politicians are using this really dangerous rhetoric. And this is what this rhetoric turns into here, where you see that they're saying that ICE is kidnapping folks, and now illegals are trying to take that seriously. They're trying to take that seriously, and they're using that and pretending like that they're being kidnapped by ICE so that they can raise money and try to make ICE look like the big boogeyman. And there's actually a clip here. It's insane. She's been federally charged. Her name is, quote-unquote, Julie. She's been federally charged for pretending like she was kidnapped by ICE. There's a video here if you guys can roll it.
Migrant in California is charged with staging a fake kidnapping and blaming federal agents or people working with them. Correspondent Matt Finn reporting live on this from L.A. Hi, Matt.
Hi, Martha. This woman is here illegally, a Mexican national. She goes by Julie Calderon, and the feds say she's being charged with lying to police and conspiracy for this elaborate hoax that they believe was meant to incite even more tension and also possibly make some money. Federal investigators say a key piece of evidence, photos. Calderon and her co-conspirators had pictures ready, staged to make it look like she was in custody with a dirty face, even removing her shoelaces. But the feds say there's at least one glaring error, because she would have been asked to take off the necklace in an official federal photo. The U.S. government says surveillance video helped them crack the case. The feds say this woman lied about being kidnapped by federal agents at a Jack in the Box here in L.A., taken to San Ysidro to the south, and asked to self-deport, but she refused, so she was held in a warehouse. But the feds say they caught her roaming free in the Bakersfield area, hundreds of miles north. This scheme went to extremes. A filed police report, a GoFundMe, even a press conference announcing her disappearance.
So in this very parking lot a week ago, ununiformed men in unmarked cars kidnapped Julie. And with her courage and her strength, even though we don't know where Julie is and we don't know when we will find her, Julie has managed to make two phone calls to the family since she's been kidnapped.
The Department of Justice says Calderon was indeed using her iPhone during her alleged disappearance, which helped them locate her. She faces a maximum of 10 years if convicted. The U.S. attorney here in L.A. says, quote, dangerous rhetoric that ICE agents are kidnapping illegal migrants is being recklessly peddled by politicians and echoed in the media to inflame the public and discredit our courageous federal agents. We do have calls into that attorney who you saw in that video who is representing this woman. And also there are also co-conspirators listed throughout this federal complaint, so we expect there may be more people charged here.
Yeah, and guys, this is the predictable outcome for this. Like, they have to, you know, ICE isn't actually kidnapping people and disappearing them, so we have to go out here, the Democrats have to go out, and they have to stage this stuff. They have to pretend like it's happening. And this was a huge effort to go out here. She was disappeared for weeks, and eventually found, you know, being able to use her iPhone. She was found with her iPhone just walking through a parking lot. And so clearly, you know, this was the attorney. The attorney should be in jail for this. He's out there starting protests and speaking to whoever. There was GoFundMe cash that was raised, and who knows where the hell that went. And, you know, this is all part of the Democrat ploy. I want to know which high-ranking people were involved with this. She didn't do this by herself. She didn't scheme this up by herself. Who was involved in this? We've still not seen in the LA riots that you're seeing out there. None of the funders have been arrested yet. None of the funders have been arrested. The people that organized this, the people that brought in those really expensive gas masks that they were distributing on the streets to these people, we have no idea who these people are and why. Why don't we know who these people are? It's one of those things where none of this stops. None of this is going. This is going to keep flaring back up, right? Especially when the people that are behind it aren't being arrested for. There was also in California about 10 days ago, if you remember, there was a man that decided that he was going to run up and open fire on ICE agents that were conducting a raid at a marijuana farm out in California. Started shooting at them. We haven't seen where that guy has gone to yet either. I believe there's a $50,000 reward out for him, and he's not been identified or arrested at this point. But, you know, this begs the question, at what point do we get the military involved in this? because these people are becoming increasingly violent. They're shooting at ICE agents on a regular basis at this point. I'm losing track of each story because of the fact that there are so many of them that keep popping up. There was a report of an ICE agent in New York shot in the face last night by somebody out there when they were trying to arrest some illegals. And the military deployments that we've seen out in California have not been really to assist ICE. They've been to protect federal resources. At some point, we're going to have the military going throughout this country and rounding people up with ICE. That's what's going to have to happen. And hopefully, at that point, you know, for their own sake, these degenerates won't open fire on active duty Marines that are working with ICE. That sounds like a really foolish idea. At some point, they're going to have to fire back, and maybe these people will learn a lesson or two. But it's really hard to imagine that the American people wouldn't be, at least those on the right and probably a lot of those on the left, are not wanting and would not call for the military to be used on the home front instead of being used over in the Middle East. We have 40,000 troops over in the Middle East right now. They should be here protecting the homeland. And by protecting the homeland, that means going out and removing the invaders from our country. I feel like that's what the Department of Defense should be doing. But maybe some of you will disagree with it. Maybe I'll get some hate messages on Twitter for that. But look, immigration is not nearly as polarizing an issue as a pretending like it is. If you look at the polling for it, it's very clear that Americans want these people out. There are way too many of them. People are tired of pressing one for English when they're calling the government for something. They're trying to get their Social Security benefits that they worked years and years, their entire lives for. They're trying to get somebody on the phone from Social Security to talk about it. They got to press one for English and then wait in line behind a bunch of illegals that are milking off of the system. And if you see now, they're trying to prevent ICE agents from using Medicaid data to track down illegals who are milking our system and taking those welfare checks. But luckily, this past week, ICE finally was granted that Medicaid data to use against these people who came into our country and are now milking our hard-earned tax dollars. And I can't imagine that there's any sane American that would be truly against stopping people from milking the tax dollars we've paid in. Probably the people that didn't pay in any tax dollars. Maybe those are the ones that support it. We're back after this.
Fox News alert, the Ayatollah's gone into hiding. He's believed to be holed up inside an underground bunker northeast of the Capitol. Iranian proxies, which have been severely degraded, are threatening to commit acts of terror against American troops and American ships in the region.
And sources are telling ABC News that President Trump has approved the attack plans for Iran that were presented to him.
And American businesses are now bracing for cyber attacks. The whole world's watching.
In light of that news, I have a message directly from the president, and I quote, "Based on the fact that there's a substantial chance of negotiations that may or may not take place with Iran in the near future, I will make my decision whether or not to go within the next 2 weeks." That's a quote directly from the president for all of you today.
What's your take on that? Because people say, well, that's just the press secretary. No, that's Trump talking. Now it looks like he's given himself more breathing room, 2 weeks, when we were coming down to the deadline, and the last deadline passed, obviously, and within 24 hours, Israel struck.
Trump is speaking through her, right? Those are his words. And he's waiting, because you put U.S. bombers over there with bunker buster bombs, it embroils America into something that could last a decade. But he knows the implications of this, and you don't want to overreact. You don't want to actually do something that might not need to be done if you can avoid it with some kind of negotiations, which Trump is the master negotiator, right? So you've got Iran, you've got Trump, and you've got Netanyahu, right? So two of those are really going at it. What Trump is saying, I believe, in that message is, I don't want to embroil America in a war for the next decade plus.
And that's what he's been saying the last 48 hours, or really 24, is, I only want to do this if it doesn't turn into a long war. Now he's learning it will. And so sanity is prevailing, hopefully. And wow, that's so important. We're out of time, Dr. Elliott. People need to call and get a free consultation or go shine on the email.
You guys are the best. You have the best prices, selling it at wholesale. That's why you're top rated. Most other places are a scam. It's just true. Gold and silver is great, but not the way people sell numismatics and collectibles. It's a scam, folks. It goes from bad to worse. You're the place to go to. You can also roll over financial instruments. It's so easy, but people need to go to KEPM.com/gold, 720-605-3900. And folks really need to take action now.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. Not all dealers are created equal. Not all brokers are created equal. When our biggest thing that we do for people is, I believe it's your money. This is why we charge zero when you liquidate. Zero. I want you to get everything that you invested in. Gold and silver do really well in these times of things. You can move over your IRA, your old 401ks, cash assets to get out of harm's way, get out of the path of this hurricane to safe ground. Don't overpay for your stuff. I'm telling you, do not overpay for your stuff when you don't need to. Always buy bullion. And do it with somebody who doesn't charge you when you liquidate.
Oh, I forgot that part. You're the only big company that does that. That is massive. No charge on liquidation. Massive. And again, ladies and gentlemen, you can look at the wholesale price every day of silver and gold. When you buy it, you know. These other places, I'm sorry, there's 90% of them go from scams to absolutely criminal, in my view. That's why we don't have gold sponsors and stuff, because there's so few that are good. Plus, I got out of it 14 years ago, right at the top, told everybody, nope, now's not the time. And then 2 years ago was the time. We've been proven right, only exploded. The best investment there is. All I'm going to do is steer you right, folks, because I treat you like I want to be treated on the supplements, on the products, on the sponsors, only the best. And that's Kirk Elliott, Precious Metals, KEPM.com/gold, 720-605-3900. Call now for your free consultation.
Update here on that last story that I was talking about, where a DHS officer, an off-duty CBP officer, was shot in an attempted robbery in New York last night. And it goes further than that. One of the alleged perpetrators was an illegal alien, of course, with prior arrests for felony second and third degree assault with an open deportation order. And beyond that, he also has an active criminal warrant out of the state of Massachusetts for kidnapping. These are the people that Democrats in, like, Zohran Mamdani up there in New York are trying so hard to protect. This guy that just tried to rob and assassinate a CBP officer up there in New York. Look, I mean, I don't know how else to say this. There's these people. They've all got to go back. I don't really care who they are. Maybe that makes me a monster. Maybe that makes me an asshole. I don't really care. They've got to go back. And maybe some of them, if they're useful and, you know, not shooting ICE officers in the face, maybe some of them can come back, a very small percentage of them. But, you know, I'm not even sure if I'm there yet. But anyway, if we go ahead and move on to the stories, more stories from this week from the Capitol here. In Washington, we had Doge cuts, finally, $9 billion worth of Doge cuts passed, and we are no longer going to send billions of dollars a year to both, you know, let's say circumcise gay males in Uganda or whatever we were doing. We're not going to be funding NPR, which is it's a propaganda outlet for the deep state and the left. I mean, does anybody really argue that point at this? Well, of course they do. They're like, oh, yeah, well, people of all walks of life listen to NPR. I've never listened to NPR. I don't know anybody that has listened to NPR. So, you know, they're saying that, oh, well, without NPR, how are people in Texas in the flood zones going to get alerts when there's an incoming flood? Well, it didn't work then. You know, they didn't get any alerts coming from that. So I'm glad that money is gone. But what I don't understand here is why this is considered controversial. Why do you have people like Don Bacon? I mean, we know Don Bacon's a bad example because Don Bacon is a rhino hack that honestly, I probably can't even say on air what I want to say about him, but he's retiring, quitting really, because he knows that, you know, we would beat his ass in a reelection campaign. There's no way he would get past that. But you know, think about it. Why do we have, quote-unquote, Republicans that want to fund this garbage?
Why do we have that? And why aren't we primarying them? Why are we? This didn't seem like it's a controversial issue. $9 billion is, yeah, it's a lot, but in the grand scheme of things, it's really not a lot. Why is it so difficult to defund obvious things like this? Why are we always fighting amongst ourselves over this kind of stuff? I'm glad it was done. There's got to be a hell of a lot more to it. Another story this week was Caroline Leavitt coming up to the stand and revealing that President Trump was diagnosed with, I'm not a doctor, so we're going to try to pronounce this right, chronic venous deficiency. And if you guys have that tape, if you can roll it, that'd be great.
On another note, I know that many in the media have been speculating about bruising on the president's hand and also swelling in the president's legs. So in the effort of transparency, the president wanted me to share a note from his physician with all of you today. In recent weeks, President Trump noted mild swelling in his lower legs. In keeping with routine medical care and out of an abundance of caution, this concern was thoroughly evaluated by the White House medical unit. The president underwent a comprehensive examination, including diagnostic vascular studies. Bilateral lower extremity venous Doppler ultrasounds were performed and revealed chronic venous insufficiency, a benign and common condition, particularly in individuals over the age of 70. Importantly, there was no evidence of deep vein thrombosis or arterial disease. Laboratory testing included a complete blood count, comprehensive metabolic panel, coagulation profile, D-dimer, B-type, natriuretic peptide, and cardiac biomarkers. All results were within normal limits. An echocardiogram was also performed and confirmed normal cardiac structure and function. No signs of heart failure, renal impairment, or systemic illness were identified. Additionally, recent photos of the president have shown minor bruising on the back of his hand. This is consistent with minor soft tissue irritation from frequent...
Clearly, there's a huge difference. And the reason that I show that, I didn't even realize that there was any problem going on with President Trump. I didn't realize his ankles were swollen. I didn't hear any sort of uproar about it. I'm surprised that it was even going on. You know, at some point they were complaining about the bruising on the back of his hand, which just happens to be right where people... where their thumb grabs during handshakes. You know, this guy shakes a lot of hands. This is like kind of like a non-issue, it seems. I don't understand why apparently there were a bunch of liberal outlets that were inquiring about it. No, whatever. That's fine. But what you just saw here is exactly what the Biden regime should have been doing the past 4 years. But instead, they gave us lies. They said it wasn't happening. They said that, you know, what you're seeing is fake and you're lying to yourself. And you're just stupid. I mean, it was just gaslighting to the max. That's what we got out of the Biden regime. They come out, you know, when it's about to be the Hur tapes, if you remember, when Joe Biden was being interviewed by a special counsel at the DOJ, Robert Hur, they finally released those tapes about 2 months ago. And the day of, they come out and said, oh, yeah, Biden has really advanced stage cancer, and we just found out about it. The best doctors in the world, but we had no idea that he had cancer. That's a lie. They were hiding it. They were covering up. And who was going to be mad, really, that Joe Biden had cancer? I mean, I can't get mad at Joe Biden for having cancer. Just be honest with us. But they didn't want to because they wanted to keep a puppet in the White House. They knew that he was going downhill mentally. And that's why you saw these past 2 weeks here on Capitol Hill, they've been dragging people in that were close to Biden's orbit that you had. Joe Biden's chief of staff, who a lot of people's Anthony Bernal, they believe that he was actually running the White House a lot of the time. David Hogg said that on tape. David Hogg said that that he had a lot more power and he was basically running a shadow government. He was caught on James O'Keefe's camera saying that. But he's brought before Congress behind closed doors and pleads the fifth, obviously. And then you bring another deputy chief of staff, pleads the fifth. You know, and then a third person in Biden's orbit, bring them in, plead the fifth again. You know, we need answers on these auto pen pardons because it seems like Joe Biden had no idea what was going on. No idea that these people were being pardoned in the middle of the night. Nobody's going to convince me that Joe Biden was awake at 11:30 at night approving pardons. It didn't happen. It absolutely did not happen. And that's why we need this deep, thorough investigation into this because every single executive order and judicial appointment Every charter that this guy signed for, say, Ketanji Brown Jackson, if he didn't sign it, if he's not the one that signed it, that should be challenged. She's an illegitimate justice. And you can see her. She's a freaking dope. I mean, she doesn't know basic legal terms. She's been called out by her colleagues, like, way out of form. They've called her out for this kind of thing. You know, so the detriment, all these things that were signed by aides, people pretending to be Joe Biden in the White House. And this is another thing that people need to be arrested for, too. They were running a shadow government. That's what was happening here. And Joe Biden had, the president of the United States, had no idea that any of this was going on. And, you know, he gave a statement to the New York Times the other day. He wouldn't talk to anybody while he was in the White House, but all of a sudden, if you accuse him of something now, he's, you know, trying to, well, his people are trying to defend themselves, really, saying that he approved each and every one of them. Okay, nobody buys that. So this is another investigation that we need to dig to the bottom of. However, that's not going to happen in closed-door sessions when people are just allowed to plead the fifth and leave. What needs to happen is you need to find somebody in that inner circle. This is what James Comer should be doing. He should be taking these people from the inner circle, dragging them in, and immunizing them so that they're not allowed to plead the fifth. Because the Fifth Amendment right protects you from incriminating yourself. If you have immunity, you cannot incriminate yourself. Therefore, the Fifth Amendment does not apply, and you have to answer questions to the best of your ability. You also just can't say, oh, well, I don't know, I don't remember. I don't remember. If you very clearly would remember that statement, then you're perjuring yourself. Because, and they can't argue that, and they have argued that in the past and been successful with prosecuting people based on that. That's what needs to be done here. They need to pull somebody from the inner circle, immunize him, and make them just, you know, reveal everything. Make them spill all the beans. Make them, you know, incriminate all of these other people that are around Joe Biden that were covering this up. I'd love to see Jill Biden dragged in there and talk. She's not the one that I would immunize. I'd probably immunize one of the deputy chiefs of staff that Joe Biden had. Immunize a person that was, you know, operating the auto pin, being given orders by somebody else in Biden's inner circle. You got to do this with somebody. The American people deserve answers, and we actually deserve more than answers. We deserve to have prosecutions. These people did a hostile takeover of our government, and nobody's been held accountable so far. We demand accountability. We demand arrest. Everybody, I appreciate you being here. The first edition of InfoWars Sunday Briefing with Nick Sorter. We'll be back next week, same time, and we'll have a different studio for you. Appreciate everybody. Take care.
You were just telling me that you had a brain disease, and you, what did you do to fix it?
I found this guy, he's a functional medicine guy, and he got me on methylene blue, and that instantly stopped everything.
I'd take it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I take it every day as well. And
yeah, RFK Jr. told me about it.
Yeah, man, it's fantastic. And so this guy's injecting, in 1890, injects these rats with it, and then does an autopsy on these things. And their brain, the brainstem, every single nerve is blue. So he discovered this methylene blue has an affinity for neuronal tissue. So he says, well, it's sucking into neurons and working in the body. So we started putting it in humans. And we found out it's an MAOI, which helps with depression and anxiety and all kinds of life stress and stuff. It is so incredible that it acts as an electron donor to mitochondria, especially your neuronal mitochondria. So it helps you produce more ATP, and it helps you get rid of this stuff called reactive oxygen species. So you have an oxygen molecule, it should have two hydrogens on it, and like your body's job is to convert stuff into water so you can pee it out. So if you get an oxygen molecule, it's got 4, 5, 1, it's a reactive oxygen, which we call free radicals. So methylene blue goes in there and balances a lot of those things out in your brain and your nervous system. So it is a miracle, and it's been proven for 100 years. It's one of the most well-proven drugs out there.
The strongest medical-grade methylene blue, and this is what I'm on. Total mitochondria cleaning, next-level energy. This is amazing. And you want to know what I'm on? Iris CMOS Shilajit. This right here, look at that. That is power. I'm on intermittent fasting. I'm going to eat at 3 o'clock today. And I stopped eating crap food, stopped drinking. That's what I'm on right there.